Hello, everybody. Welcome to Road to War, Episode 10. I'm Nick.
I'm Billy.
I'm Michael.
And today we're going to be talking about Legion and probably WarGamesCon a little bit, and I think that's about it. Maybe some questions.
Yeah, questions at the end. But anyways, Billy's here pretty much explicitly, mainly to talk about Legion since he's the Legion expert of the group.
Yeah, I kind of fell off the podcast, guys. Sorry about that.
Just a little
work. I don't think that's going to be changing in the long run.
Don't worry.
I can come in as a guest speaker. It's just, yeah, work has gotten crazy busy.
But anyways, yeah. Legion, how would you describe him, Billy?
I think they were really, really good, and obviously Jake was doing a great job of proving that. But I think Colossals might hurt him a little bit. I think there's a couple little tech moves you can do to sort of balance it out. But at least until the Archangel comes out, and we get a good idea of what that does and what that's going to bring to the table, Legion's sort of at a loss.
And why is that? Like,
I don't want to say completely at a loss, right? Because Saren can kind of, I mean, has decent answers, but for the most part, we don't have anything that really spell removes outside of Evail. Evail can do it. I'm not very experienced with it. I know Jake was saying that Evail has some success, but it's just a lot of damage. It's a lot of damage that you have to put out there, and if you can't get rid of the mechanics, which Vale has a hard time doing, it can just keep repairing and repairing.
I feel like the reason that really hurts them is like Legion has a. I feel like they have a damage output such that they can very efficiently take out the heavies that existed before Colossals. But now that Colossals are out, their damage is just going to fall short. Like they can't efficiently take that out. They're going to have to toss a lot more points at it than it's worth.
Yeah, I've always felt like P-Vale would be a good example, right? I haven't played a lot with her. I've just sort of left that to Jake, but She can do it. She can take one down. She can put all of her beasts into it. But then you find yourself just woefully out of position and another 30 points, 35 points standing there ready to deal with your beasts. And Legion beasts aren't necessarily the most sturdy. So once you put them out there to be struck, they get hit pretty hard.
At the same time, though, if you've removed a 19-point piece, a lot of times that is their big heavy hitter. Like whenever I've built this with Colossals so far with Stormwall, which it hasn't been that long in that many games, but, I don't really take a whole bunch of, I'm not taking like Old Rowdy or a Centurion along with it. That is just the big, like, heavy armor piece that's gonna be in the middle. And if you look at it, they pretty much have the same grids as two war decks put together. And I've played enough games to where an angel can come in and scrap a Signar heavy in one turn. So if you apply two angels, you don't think you could do it? Like two angels going in and after the same one? If you could get rid of the...
You've seen one angel scrap a Signar heavy in one turn?
I don't feel like one angel...
I don't even know if that's diceably possible.
I think it is, because I've watched it happen. It's the most obnoxious thing ever.
So you've seen the most obnoxious thing ever happen one time and think that just apply two angels...
Well, Mike, so on your average Signar heavy, it's going to be dice plus five on the thrust. So it's not mathematically possible to kill them with the thrust. So then they get, what, one more PAL 14, which boosted... At minus four, they're going to do 10 more. So, sure, yeah. If you roll bananas,
it's all 18s,
maybe. You absolutely could do it. Okay, maybe it's not horribly reliable.
Yeah,
and I understand that the main reason that happens probably is that you don't have mechanics. And when the angel comes in and like stabs your centurion, and you don't have like mechanics behind it. You're like, well, crap, he's worthless. And then the angel can do whatever he wants. He can either walk away or just finish it off next turn.
Yeah, we'll say this with Saren, I run her with two angels. Two angels can hit it. Do a lot of damage, and then you can feat. The problem is if they can get enough shooting focused in on that angel, which is tough, but if you don't destroy any systems on either side when you do those double thrusts, or if the mechanics come up and repair it, it's conceivable that they could drop the angel or almost drop the angel combining with a couple other things.
Well, in that case, to be fair, so the Colossal doesn't get the engaged bonus, but the angel still do.
Right.
So you're looking at 18s, or you have to hit defense 18.
Not from the Colossal.
Well, but he can't shoot at them because he's in melee with them. Or is that...
He can't. Yes, he can shoot at them.
He can't shoot at them? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it depends which... I mean, it does depend on which Colossal you're talking about, I think. And then, I don't know. I don't think it's nearly as bad as people have, like, said. Yeah, we've only seen, what, I guess two major conventions now, three, where Colossals have been in.
I'd say there's been one major convention where they were released and then a couple of kind of medium conventions.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, I'd say across the country, we had DICON and WarGamesCon going on at the same time. That's probably, it was spread out. It was a major convention. So there's been a couple.
Okay. But Okay, so it might be a problem for. I'm not necessarily 100% convinced. I think it will depend. It might change the casters that you see, where because you have to be able to get rid of either Arcane Shield off, like that is really important. Arcane Shield getting rid of that off a Stormwall. Not so sure about Defender's Ward going on the Judicator, but
well, here's the problem. Like, I mean, I've always had Lilith in the bag for War Machine. I feel like she's a really slick assassin. I mean, it's one thing to understand her threat range, and it's another thing to understand that she can continue to kill things and keep Swift Huntering into position where she can throw a pin cushion down. And she's just really slick at being able to take War Machine out. Sometimes she can accidentally win a game by setting a caster on fire and it just not going out. I mean, you can win on accident. But when you put the Colossals in, she has a really hard time dropping them and not getting flooded by the rest of the 35 points. I mean, whether it's infantry or whatever it is. And if the Colossal gets there, you can't remove it in melee with Lilith. You can't at all. So Lilith almost becomes, I mean, she was already going that direction with SR 2012, some of the scenarios, but now with Colossals, I don't think she's really competitive.
Really? Even with the Naga coming out, you don't think that you can drop one from range?
Believe me, I'm Lilith's biggest fan, and I play with her a lot, and I do an okay job at winning with her. I just don't know that the Naga, I mean, you have to use the Naga on every beast that you have shooting. So whether it's two Ravagors and a Bolt Thrower or two Bolt Throwers and a Ravagor, and I mean, you're talking about the Succubus for one. Let's say you're using the Succubus that way. You use the Naga for another one, and you use Lilith for another one. Now Lilith is down to Fury, and you have three shots, maybe six on feet turn.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can't really pin cushion without, I mean, I guess you could, but you're pretty close. You better drop the Colossal or you're done.
That's true.
I don't know. It's, especially like E. Haley's Colossal. I mean, it's just, its range is crazy bananas. Yeah, I don't know. In my head, at least, it's not working out, especially with the advent of Colossals. I think you want to take like an Absalonia or a P-Veil or a caster who can bring a lot of heavy hitting power just to have a shot there.
Okay.
Well, I mean, just like, but then we kind of got sidetracked on the advent of Colossals, but in general, Billy, what do you think about like Legion in general? Like, maybe not your specific thoughts about Colossals, but how they play.
The coolest things, when I switch from Signar to Legion, is number one, you really don't care about terrain. For a vast majority of the games, all of your heavies, most of your lights, you know, if they don't have Pathfinder, they can have flight, or they can, you know, really some of the Warcasters, the Warlocks are the only ones you have to worry about sort of watching terrain with. That was the coolest thing. Secondly, they have the ability to do massive amounts of damage output across a wide range of targets. So you have Deathstalkers that can take out infantry with low defense high armor, or even reasonable defense high armor. You have Striders that do a really good job of taking out low defense, low armor. You can CRA with that. You have a lot of casters that integrate well with like Bloodthorn from Bethane. You have heavies that are speed, all of them are speed 6 for the most part. So you're talking about 9.5, 11 inch threats across the board without any buffs. You add in Slipstream. Now all of a sudden those are all 2 up. So you can get really far, really fast and do damage.
Mm-hmm. Slipstream is absurd.
Yeah. It's like, it's almost like TK. Almost. But yeah, I agree. Like the terrain mitigation is really obnoxious when you have to play against them. Cause you know that whenever you're deciding table sides, they're never going to care. Hardly at all. I mean, they're just gonna not let you, they don't care what's on their side, they just don't want you to have, like, advantageous terrain on your side.
Yeah, in summary, I don't care about terrain, and I'm really fast. I mean, those are the two things I noticed. I did also notice that, at least initially, they had a hard time putting out a lot of damage, but I didn't start with P-Veil. Like I said, I haven't really played P-Veil, so she could be the balancing act that I'm not really seeing.
Uh-huh. Well, plus 2 to all your damage rolls is pretty good.
Yeah, the hidden damage is pretty
good. Will it really be that good? I mean, Because E-Veil, when you have buffs on Colossals, if that's what you're talking about, then E-Veil's ability to purify it off is almost counteracts
When I started him, I'm talking about trying to take out a Centurion, to take out a Old Rowdy, trying to take out a Reckon. I mean, just general heavies. Like, the more heavies they had, the harder it was because the counterpunch can just come back and wreck you. They're sort of light. I mean, we're talking about armor 18 across the board for the most part. Mm-hmm. 17's on Angels. And generally, I haven't found the casters to be extremely survivable without transfers outside of Bethane.
Well, yeah, of course. Yeah, no Warlocks are going to be that. And Bethane's just bananas because she's in her super suit of being a light war beast. But yeah, I mean, I feel like that's like all of them. But they generally have really good ways of protecting themselves, either through relatively high defense, since like most of them are like what, I think 16 base, unless you're Veil, and then you're 15, but you always have concealment. So you're 17. I mean, and they generally can all play far enough back to where they're not like really risky. Well, unless you're like Rias or something wacky like that.
Well, that's the secret. That's what I realized is there's, I see a lot of Warlocks, they play with model placement. They'll put models between, they'll be pretty close up, like a lot of troll players. Mm-hmm. Their caster will be pretty far up there, but they'll have a bunch of models between them, and model placement's really important. With Legion, you just want to keep your caster as far back as you can.
Well, Legion always plays really beast heavy too, so they typically don't have a lot of models to put in between.
Right, which is what so then you're forced at that point to play as far back as possible. So like with Saren, I take two spell martyrs, and you think, well, what is she? I mean, she has the 10-inch blight field, but she's really, it's really important to use that for breath stealer as well to lower defense so the Scythians become effective mat 8. Mm-hmm. I mean, you need that, especially if you're playing against Circle.
Yeah.
So those are general thoughts about Legion. Fast, don't care about terrain, sort of squishy.
All right, you want to jump into casters now?
Yep, let's go.
Who do you want to start with, Billy? Let's start with Elil, your girl.
Yeah, I think that's... she's not my girl anymore. We've broken up, and I've been dating Bethane for a while now. I've brought her home,
right.
Met the parents. They all get along. Our families are doing Thanksgiving later this year.
How does Belford War feel about that?
He's really more like a Scooby-Doo type once you get to know him. But really,
I don't know what that's supposed to mean, but okay.
I'm sure someone out there will. So with Lilith, she's a lot of people think that she's pure assassination, and I've found that she's way better at attrition than people give her credit for. I run her with two Bolt Throwers and one Ravagor, just because immunity to fire is way more ubiquitous than you think it is. There's just a lot of things that, you really want to kill, but you can't, like Gorman or Menoth in general.
Assault Commandos.
Struck up.
Yeah, it's hard for me to actually, it's always like, oh, that's immune to fire. Druids, once you start getting druids. Elemental immunity, like it just becomes an issue. Plus, I like the ability to have four shots to push a caster off of cover if I am going for it. They'll run up behind a wall and be like, all right, I got this. And then I'll activate, and I'll just start trying to push them away or knock them down. And if I can get them off that wall, it's usually game over after that. Mm-hmm. I run a pure shooting list. I can see the merits of taking like a Carnivian or something like that to give you a big beat stick in the center that doesn't have reach specifically. But for the most part, I just gun.
I mean, the Carnivian you're talking about, Jake's list, right?
The one incarnation I saw of Jake's list.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and he's admitted that he played very differently. I don't believe he has Striders in the list, does he?
He didn't have it in that list. He had five Raptors, and I have three Raptors and Anissa. I have Striders in every Legion list I make, just because, in my opinion, and I guess this now is probably as good a time as any. I really like Striders because they have stealth, so they're generally going to stay alive. At defense 15 with stealth, even things that can shoot stealth are more focused on other models, or they're going after Deathstalkers or other, I guess, more offensive targets. It's usually pretty good at keeping that CRA together if you ever need to fire it big. But what's really good is once they have reform is you take your shot the first turn, especially with Lilith. You'll move up. You'll take a feet shot because she's usually feeding really early. Then you pull back. You reform backwards. Then you barely move up, and you can take a second shot if it doesn't look like you'll need the third turn. But the best thing to do is, as far as I'm concerned, on that second turn, move 7 inches forward just out of melee, start shooting the second rank or the mid ranks behind the front rank, and then reform into melee. So now you've blocked their line off, and you can do with Lilith, if you're playing pure shooting, you've sort of created a battle line that's off of your front, your beasts and Lilith's frontage. Yeah. And it's worked really well. You'd think defense 15, that doesn't really sound like it's too hard of a tar pit to get through.
Super high.
That's pretty much as good as you can expect without tossing buffs in there. So
right. Well, that's how I play them, and I even use Deathstalkers like that. I'll take a shot. I'll move up within, 3 inches. I'll take a shot. I'll move 2 inches. I'll take another shot, and then I'll engage something. And a lot of people just have a problem taking free strikes, even when they could probably survive it. They're, 70% to survive my mat 4.
Yeah.
They still don't want to take the free strike, and they just stand there and try to roll nines to hit me.
The Striders are deceptively good at tar pitting just because of that high defense. And, I've played Billy a couple times, and it's not ever been easy to get through because they'll just jam in there, and it's like just really obnoxious. And you're right. You don't want to necessarily move away and take free strikes, but if you swing, you're probably not going to hit that reliably.
Right. And logically, when I thought about doing it, it didn't occur to me until I played Legion for a couple months. And once I realized that I could create that battle line, Lilith just got easy.
Yeah, because a lot of times people on Striders are usually like on the sides, and they're always reforming away, so they never ever get engaged.
Right.
And then what happens is a lot of times people will just rush into your beast, and then she's super screwed.
Now, this is just sort of a passion project for me. I knew that the Naga was coming out. I didn't know when. And I really wanted to make sure I had those 5 points set aside and that I wasn't used to playing with them. So I put in Incubi instead. And when you add the Incubi with Striders, as far as a tar pit goes, it gets ridiculous. Because as they start killing those Striders every once in a while, now all of a sudden, within, not completely within, but just within 2 or 3 inches, 3 inches, I think, you place that Incubi down, and he's a charging Mat 7, Speed 6, Mat 7, POW 14, combo 13, strike, combo strike. Yeah. And so, and then he's back there, so they have to turn around and deal with him as well. Or you just place it 3 inches back and charge right back into the same model that just killed him. And that was a lot of fun. But anyway.
But what do you take against Lilith? Like, what do you see across that you don't want to see?
Haley's always a game. Usually it almost forces me to go for an assassination.
Epic Haley, right?
Right.
Okay.
I've yet to fail that assassination, but it can happen. And then, actually, I played Nick in Masters at Gen Con. That was sort of a skew game, but.
Yeah, but when we played, you were kind of just goofing around, so.
Yeah.
You did fail the killer, though.
I don't think I went for it.
No, you did.
No, I killed Thorn.
Are you sure?
Yeah, you had Thorn up on a hill, and I shot him. I put pincushion on him and just shot him until he died. And then I tried to give you the assassination honor, and you didn't take it because it was dicey.
That's because I don't go for like that.
You defeated and annihilated. Anyway, so there's that. But yeah, other than that, I have yet to actually kill Haley with her.
Not kill Haley.
Yeah, E-Kane is a game. Well, I guess we're starting in Signar. E-Kane is a game if the Signar player really stays on point.
One of the best games I've ever played was against Billy, where it was E-Kane versus E-Lilith, and there was this giant asshole piece of terrain that gave cover to like everything. So it's just like cowboys and Indians like hiding behind the walls, popping up and shooting at each other.
It was a giant circular wall. Like, it was a good 10 inches across.
Yeah, it was one that has, like, the Minifix. I think it's one of the, official PP pieces of terrain.
We played them all as linear obstacles. Anyway, that was fun. With Lilith, Scorn is usually a problem. I usually have a problem with Scorn with Lilith. I know a lot of Scorn players. There are a lot of matchups they really hate with her, but the bronze back is just an
issue.
It's
hard to take down, and if you're shooting at him, he's going to be walking forward.
Well, a good Scorn player just runs all his beasts every turn into my face, and then I lose. And it's really tough to bring them down, like to peel that list. Obviously, P. Morgul is a great example of that.
Probably Xerxes, too, though. You can set the...
No, Xerxes annihilates me. Xerxes.
Really, your best plan there is to set all the Citrati on fire and hope you roll bananas on your fire damage rolls.
Someone was doing that to you the other day. Who was that?
Yeah,
Mike?
But...
That was Mike, yeah.
But he had purification, too, so he was getting rid of Defender's Ward and the Kray is Animus.
So Terminus is obviously an issue. Any Morvana, anything that's anti-shield. A good circle list with a guardian in it, or two guardians especially, Baldur is a problem. And Borka is a huge just pain. Idumi with Mulg. Idumi in period, even without Mulg. I don't know why you do that, but even Idumi without Mulg.
Just because of the number of beasts and they're all running at you.
Exactly. Anything that can get to you really fast with a lot of heavy targets is an issue.
Okay.
But that's why Saren is my pair with that. So, then you're playing roulette.
All right, so moving on. I want to go to Saren next.
Sure.
We'll just go through all the ones you know really well, and then we'll dirtle about it the ones you know less well.
That sounds good.
She's super prevalent.
Yeah, Saren, everyone seems to hate her more than I like her. But I know she's really good with control. She's really good at creating spots on the board that you can't get. There's a couple scenarios where there's two huge circles, and you're thinking, okay, this is a non-scenario scenario. Because it's going to be really impossible to score 2 points. These circles are huge. This is going to be tough. But and especially because you think Saren has to sit in the middle and separate. But again, I take Striders in every list, and I just take my Striders and Deathstalkers, and I move them over to one circle, and I found that they're able to spread over one circle so that it can't really be taken by my opponent. And then I take her and all my beasts into the other one, and she does, with two angels, she does a really good job of repulsing everything out of the zone and feeding, scoring a point that turn, and making it so it's almost impossible for them to come back other than just running and jamming me. And then I repulse them out again. Yeah. So, I mean, they have to like triple stack their models, and if they do that and I've already scored a point, then I just kill them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I've come up, I armor pierce, come up armor pierce, and then, you know, push them away. So she's really good at scenarios, I found. I highly recommend taking Spell Martyrs with her just because I think Jake runs one, and both of us have talked about two being the ideal number, just because Breath Stealer's really good, and Blightbringer, I used it a lot when I started playing with her, but I use it less and less as the game goes on, as I keep playing with her.
I also feel like when you started playing with her, you didn't have the Striders in there either, so you had a lot more infantry that wasn't getting dealt with otherwise.
Yeah, I didn't really like her at all. And then at TempleCon for Masters, I was just like, you know what? I had a Ravagor in there, and I wasn't really feeling it. I didn't really like it when I qualified, and so I said, well, I'm just going to remove it and put in Striders, and we'll see what happens. I really liked them with Lilith, and they were. It was suddenly like Saren and I saw eye to eye, and we just clicked after that. But it allows me to separate her from her beasts and run it as two different. You know, I have two Deathstalkers and a full unit of Striders, so I run that as two different units. I have two Shepherds behind there. I don't run Forsaken in any list. I never have. I'm probably missing out. I'm sure there's a lot of people out there that just love Forsaken.
Yeah, not agree with that at all.
Yeah, and there's a lot of scenarios where I'm like, man, I'd really like a Forsaken right here, but I just Shepherds have just always gotten the job done for me, and I run every list really tight. Like, I really just don't have any points to spare that I don't feel are necessary for my style or my play, my choices.
All right, so what do you not like seeing against Saren?
Anything with shooting.
Signar, Ehaley.
Anything Signar. Rhett's pretty bad. I run Swamp Gobber, so I try to use line of sight to make it an issue. But some of those factions don't need line of sight.
Well, Menoth really can't block line of sight to everything.
Right. Menoth is really bad. Really, really bad for her.
Reckoners do not care at all ever.
Yeah, there's actually surprisingly trolls. I mean,
what?
Running those bombers and
that's kind of iffy.
Yeah, Kador is a problem. Although Saren used to be my Kador matchup because Blightbringer and the Striders do a pretty decent job of controlling the super high defense infantry spam. Recently, even things like Gorman with a bulldoze moving two angels together and black oiling them both. It seems corner case, but it happens, especially because what you do is you usually try to thrust the same thing twice.
Is that on feet turn? I guess?
Like, yeah, when your feet turn, you're trying to slipstream, double thrust heavy, hopefully drop it. But if not, at least you feeted and you can just thrust it again in the next turn. Well, then a Spriggan will come up and bulldoze them together and then black oil their own almost dead heavy. And you're, you know, anyway, it's happened more than once, unfortunately for me. Anything with shooting is a problem for Saren, and it's really hard to take her in that format. Anything that can super camp that's not on a large base, anything with hordes of infantry. It sounds like I'm naming like every type of list here.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I promise you, she's
pretty
good. So
what is Saren good against?
She's pretty good against Kryx.
Against Kryx. Holy crap, I hate seeing her.
And I know that seems counterintuitive because I just said infantry hordes, but like Vindictus Tyr, like with those two units of Errants, is a real problem for her. She's pretty good against Kryx because of Blightbringer and because of feet. And
yeah, Kryx lists are like all of my stuff is
none of
based.
Yeah, none of that infantry has shooting, which is helpful. There's really no way for them to deal with the Shepherds effectively. I mean, if I was playing against Saren, I would immediately figure out any way I could to kill the Shepherds or for say whatever they're using to manage Fury, because that guarantees Saren can get one good turn, and after that next turn is, I mean, it's sort of an anti-feat turn. Mm-hmm. Like, they can't really use the beast very well. There's no armor piercing. There's no animi.
I will say, I personally, playing Scorn, really like Prime Morgul against her.
Prime Morgul is just great against Legion. I mean, there's just some real matchup issues. I don't think there's a caster out there that Morgul's just like, oh no, I can't believe he picked caster X.
I bet he's pretty bad against Prime Vale, because she can just rampage her out of beast a turn and kill it.
Yeah, that seems. No, not if you lock her.
Although
you don't take a sentry with him, though.
Yeah, you do. I guess you could have the sentry put up locker and then have one of the bronze backs walk up behind him and arm lock him.
That seems so ridiculous. It's not
arm lock the sentry.
Yeah.
After he's lockered the other beast.
I mean, or you could just put, I mean, stack your beast in such a way that the sentry can't move.
It's really difficult.
No, it's not. You just put them slightly in front and in past the center point and put one behind him. You just triangle them in.
Yeah, but then you don't really. So you don't really want to do that because you want the sentry out front to take the alpha strike. Like, that's his whole point. It's high armor.
It's not his whole point in P Vale, though. In P Vale, you're gonna get fucking peeled, you know, chopped up. So you have to do that. It's just a good piece of tech if you're if you find yourself in that position.
Anyways,
all right. So anyways, back.
That
to
is not Legion talk.
That's P-Vale. That's exactly what we're talking about. Morgul against Legion.
Yes. Rolling through the casters.
Okay. So P Morgul is, and there was some discussion about that on the Legion forums as well about P Morgul just being a problem,
mm-hmm.
and P Vale's okay, but eventually you get there. Yeah. You know, eventually you, even if you lose a beast or two on the way, you show up with three in the end of it, and that's enough.
Yeah. I think a Bronzeback and a Gladiator can probably kill three, maybe four Legion beasts.
Yeah, for sure.
Especially if they have the Kreia's Animus standing there, lowering defense.
Yeah.
But anyways.
Sorry. So anyways, that's enough for Saren, I guess. I have no reason for Saren. On
Pido. Saren, she takes Angelus's.
I mean, okay.
She probably has a Scythian.
I'd like to point out that, like, if you're playing Krix, my ideal matchup if I play Billy is I would like to drop P-Scar. Because I have that hordes of infantry, and I'll be able to set it up to where he can crash in. I don't have a bunch of high value targets, which is generally what she's going to use her feet to kill with her angels or whatever. So if you just throw infantry at it, like, yeah, she could use Blightbringer, but then her angels are going to be free to go stab some infantry. I don't care. But the problem is if the matchup is Saren and Epic Lilith, I can't drop a list like that because then he just clears away and shoots like my caster Scar to death. So then you have to get Terminus and. A lot of Terminus drops, like, if you drop Terminus, it's a lot harder to deal with, like, Angels, because they could kill him in melee, and at the same time, they're really hard to hit, so if you take the Mechanithral Horde. So it's just a really kind of a toss-up game, I think.
I have yet to even come close to beating Eric's Terminus with Saren. Like, he just never gives me a thrust, not even one from 14 inches away.
I don't know.
I have nowhere to land. I mean, he swarms around him, and he's just like, go ahead, see if you can land somewhere. And so I try to kill, and I try to kill, and then I'm putting so much into just getting one thrust off that once the angel gets there, even if I can get there and I thrust and I do five or six boxes, he's just like, okay, thanks for that. Go ahead and feet. Appreciate it. Heal up. You know, he just heals himself and then sprays or does, you know, purges. It's just...
Yeah, I guess I did kill two angels with Biothrall purges when you feed it that one time. And then I ran out of the kill box, though.
That was on Keaton, wasn't it?
No, that was with Terminus. And then I ran Terminus out of a kill box. But,
I was on you, though. Yeah. You were afraid.
Yeah, I was. I mean, yeah, it, you can do it. It's just, Krix in general hate seeing that feat. God, I hate that feat so much.
Yeah, I think it's almost like a...
Like, you have to set it up. I think you have to pretty much almost throw away pieces... Like, you don't want to let them use their feet to protect themselves. You want to make them use the feet to buy the Alpha Strike on your guys. So you throw stuff in front of them.
It's almost like an epic Denny feat when you're not playing a scenario where you ought to lose. It's just really frustrating to your plans.
Mm.
You know, you're like, ah, now he's in complete control, and I feel like no matter what I do, I'm not doing anything. You know, or like an E. If you don't have a lot of shooting, Saren's feet just makes you feel like you don't get a turn, and it's a deflating feeling.
We know a guy who at Gen Con last year got to play... Saren, like, what, 4 out of 6 rounds?
Matty Lee. He was just freaking out. He was melting down when he walked out of the hall. At midnight, he's like, 5 out of his 6 games had been against Legion, and 4 out of those 5 were against Saren. He was running Krix. He was like, that was the worst day of my life.
One of the tournaments at TempleCon, I played E. Haley twice, and in both games... killed her before she feeded. Like that was my goal. My goal was, all right, let's just get the kill, not have to deal with the feet. This will be great.
It's a good plan.
Yeah, that's. I don't know. How'd you with Saren?
Oh, with Lilith.
Oh, good. I was like, how the?
No, that was Saren.
Okay, that makes more sense.
All right, anyways. So moving on. What do you want to do next, Billy?
I want to talk about Bethane.
Yeah, Billy's current favorite.
So I was trying to get Bethane to work. I was looking for a good third caster, and I started with P Vale after. After much debate, I was like, all right, well, Jake did good with P-Vale. Let me see if I can make it work. It's just, you know, tiptoeing into Legion. I played a few games with it. I wasn't really in love with it, but I really wanted Bethane to work because I liked the model. I liked the interaction. I liked her and the fluff. A lot of stupid reasons to want to play a caster. So I just couldn't get it. I felt like I kept building lists. I felt like they built themselves, but I'd take the Black Frost Shard and Hex Hunters and maybe 2 units of Hex Hunters. The Striders are obviously good with Bloodthorn. They're actually really good with Bloodthorn. Plus, I have a personal affinity for Striders. I kept trying to run really beast heavy because I felt like she still needed the hitting power that the other lists had. That's where most of it came from. Plus, combining that with a feat turn under the Hex Hunters really just sort of brought her into her own. then and I was really enamored with the idea of running Swamp Gobbers and Belphegor as this 10-inch cloud that you couldn't see her behind. So unless you had scattering AoEs or something, you know, you're playing Legion, it was a really good matchup. Then I was talking to Jake. I don't know if we were at a convention or we were texting or something, but he recommended try Gators out. Try Gatorman. Yeah. Just see what you think, because I think they're going to be pretty good with Ashenvale. And I bought a unit of Gators and started playing with them. And it, again, just like adding Striders to Saren, suddenly everything clicked together. The list runs really tight. To me, it kind of builds itself. But I like it. It's Bethane and Belphegor. I run one Ravagor and one Scythian. The Ravagor provides just some continuous shooting throughout the game, plus you can accidentally win against War Machine. I usually run in, I jump right into the supersuit because I have three arc nodes, so I like to be able to ignore stealth. A lot of times I'm throwing one Eruption of Spines a turn. I don't use Gallows as much because I don't have the heavies. Like, I don't have heavies to counterpunch. I don't pull them forward and then hit them with my heavies. I have one Scythian as well. But running that Beast Light, getting inside Belphegor and then having a total of eight possible Fury out there, I don't have any Fury management, so I save the points on Shepherds and Forsaken. My flank for the 50-point list is a Shepherd and a Scythian, just in case. You know, once you bump up to 60, I feel like you need that other heavy. But the list is really vanilla after that. Five Gatormen, full unit of Hex Hunters, no UA, the Black Frost Shard, and a full unit of Striders. No Deathstalkers or anything like that, just Black Frost Shard, Gatormen, Hex Hunters, Striders, and three Spell Martyrs. So I throw Bloodthorn on the Striders, I throw Ashenvale on the Gatormen, and then I bounce Carnivore around, just depending on where I need it. A lot of times it goes on the Scythian if I'm fighting hordes. But the Black Frost Shard recently made an entry there. Those are the 5 points I kind of go back and forth with. But they really also make the Scythian a lot better. Throwing the defense out there makes it a lot easier for me, too.
Harms, yeah, right. Scythian won't necessarily kill a heavy with POW 17, so with POW 19s, he will.
Yeah, Harm is good. I find myself using the -2 defense a lot more. Because I'll throw it on one beast, or I'll throw it on a beast, and then another beast, and then I'll feet, and the Hex Hunters will drop both of them. Because I'll put 5 over here, and then 4 over here, and the Black Frost Shard, one of them will do the POW 12, which, you know, yeah. it starts at, you know, it's boosted 12s. I'm able to drop both, and then the Scythian can usually get in there and mix it up as well.
Okay.
But she's really survivable in the super suit. If I have a transfer on her, it's just about impossible to bring her down at range.
Yeah,
I can throw Ashenvale on her late game. I think at one point I was playing Will's Epic Kruger list, and he got down to where he had the Battle Engine, a Gorax.
He didn't need all that shooting, right?
He had 6 Druids. He just had a whole army. I mean, he had a good 25 points left on the board, and I had Belphegor and a Deathstalker. This is back when I ran a Deathstalker. And Belphegor killed everything in the army, including Kruger. I mean, she just...
That's ridiculous. I don't think you can count on that, but okay.
No, you can't, because he can't... There's
but nothing could kill her.
There's nothing he could do.
A Gorax? You don't think a Gorax can kill her?
Yeah, the Gorax might.
The Gorax was an issue, so I put Ashenvale on myself, and then...
Why is he at 12-19?
He came up.
Beast at 12-19?
Well, he came up, and he had to charge or whatever, so he did some damage, and he just didn't kill me. And I think at the time I may have had a partially dead Ravagor that I ran so that I could transfer to it.
Okay.
Because I could, you know, I couldn't hurt. I mean, he had elemental up, so I couldn't do anything with him, so I just ran him away so I could transfer later.
Nice.
He was giving me fury as well.
But yeah, I mean, whenever I've played against Bethany and Belphegor, normally, if you can't really shoot, then she can afford to let the Belphegor, like, run around and be an arc node. But most of the time, yeah, you jump in and you have amazing stats. You're pretty much... Like, you're better than Karchev.
And you have Isle of Sight.
And you have Isle of Sight.
Yeah. Right. The Isle of Sight and you're immune to all those elements really makes it tough for a lot of armies to answer you. And it's this list is... I played Kador 3 of the rounds of the qualifier at Lock and Load. 3 of the first 4 were against Kador. And I burnt her out in the first 2 games because they were both Kador. But she has a really hard time losing to Kador. I mean, you almost have to try to do it. I mean, you can take out...
Okay.
I've never lost with her against Kador. Now there are some builds like Karchev. It's going to be, you know, that's going to be a problem, but it's not unwinnable
against your typical Kador list.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah, against well. Against a competitive
like Flanzer who's taking Karchev.
Yeah. So what do you what do you not like to see?
I haven't seen it yet. I mean, I haven't really. Well, I mean, I can think of like Karchev would be a problem. Anything with, you know, I guess
one again.
I guess Epic Doom Shaper, P Mortal. You and I played that game,
yeah.
And I mean, I was able to kill all the Pain Givers, which made it a little more manageable.
That's ridiculous.
I hate Striders.
Well, it's Striders and Eruption. I mean, there's some good things, and if I feed, I get a couple of eruptions. The biggest problem is if you're playing against Hordes, all you have to do is camp two transfers. If you camp two transfers, she cannot kill you by herself.
Mm-hmm.
She has like the Hex Hunters coming in with boosted Cal 13s.
At this point, and this is the thing that really breaks my heart, is that I think she's going to have a hard time taking down the Conquest with all that covering fire. You know, you need sevens to kill the Hex Hunter. I think it's sevens to kill the Hex Hunters walking through those fields in order to get within the 6 inches.
They don't want to do that.
But I have to, because that's really my only way to drop the Conquest.
Well, change the list. Maybe you put it in, instead of a Scythian, you put like a Carnivian or something. I don't know.
I mean, that just gives me one more POW and less threat. It's a little tough. And again, I'm feeling a lot of, that's another reason why a lot of the Legion tactics just have to change with Colossals, at least for me.
I think, the thing about her when you're playing against her, whenever I've faced it, is watch out for just her spell list is very respectable. Billy's really good at getting Eruption of Spines in there, because a lot of people see the big drawback is that it hits your own models also. But if you're firing it through a Spell Martyr, you're not firing it generally near where all the rest of your guys are.
Right.
Or you're firing it, or you run one of your dudes out there and you just shoot him in the back and it blows up everyone.
Yeah, I'm really good at shooting it at Gatorman. I mean,
yeah, that too.
You have that front wave of five Gatormen with Ashen Veil. Once they pray for defense, in their defense 15,
yeah.
From shooting a melee that doesn't ignore concealment,
yeah.
And then once you get engaged, their armor 18. So it's POW 10. I don't boost on my own guy. I mean, I boost to hit if I need to. If I absolutely need to get that off, if I'm engaged with a bunch of Kayazi, I'll actually just run. I'll charge run, and I'll run one farther than the rest of them.
You see four of them just go up and attack something, and one's like, whoop, and he runs to the side. You're like, what's he doing? And he's just... Eruption of Spines jumps out of him, and you're like, oh, damn it.
Right, and it's I don't know, it's kind of gamey, it's cool. And then Gallows is something I won't use. I won't use it all game, and then
it's time to
assassinate, and they're like when we were playing.
Yeah, I completely forgot.
I was playing Terminus. I was like, yep, there's a lane.
If only Terminus stood behind that bunker like he should.
I just pulled him into the Hex Hunter hallway.
Yep, I made a mistake on that one. And that's the other thing, Hex Hunters... Always remember, it's like she's gonna try and combo you out. Like she doesn't have, she can't. I mean, I guess if you're a really soft caster or you don't have transfers, like Hellfire could conceivably kill you under her feet. But most
she doesn't have Hellfire. She has Gallows.
That's what I'm sorry. Gallows.
Yeah.
I don't think she had Hellfire. Oh, I'm thinking of Saren. My bad. But she like Gallows continues. Like she could spell assassin you, but most of the time she's gonna drag you in and either let her Hex Hunters or whatever else in her army kill you. Like, and the thing is, a lot of the other times she like whenever Billy plays her, he doesn't like you said he doesn't play cast Gallows a lot. This is Russ's army. He's like. Pushing you around, and then at the last minute you forget, and you're like, oh, my caster got dragged up, and I'm screwed.
This is actually, you guys know my style is very assassination.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, oriented. Absolutely.
This is my first experience with a pure attrition caster. The way I play her is very attrition. I have a trigger I can pull with Gallows, with boosted Black Frost and a Ravagor, like those kind of combining into doing something, plus a CRA from Striders. I mean,
Gators are obnoxious as hell.
If I really focus fire some stuff down, it's cool. But really, her game is, I'm going to take this game close to time. We're going to beat on each other. You're going to do some damage to me. I'm going to do more damage to you. And at the end of it, you're not going to be able to kill Bethane in the suit. Butcher can do it, but, I mean, most casters just can't do it in one turn. And then I can suit up and beat them down.
Okay. Sweet.
So,
moving on.
Which one's next?
Should I do the Veils?
Yeah, they're super popular. So, P-Veil, which I think, like you said earlier, is probably going to see maybe a resurgence of her with the Colossals coming out. I'm not necessarily convinced because her epic form has purification, but P-Veil, for the longest time, has been Legion's answer to the heavy armor, like, our hard targets, because of things like Insight.
Maybe I'm just bad, but I think she has a pretty high, like,
learning curve?
Yeah, there's a learning curve there. She's really easy to kill initially when you start playing with her, because there's this kill range where she has to be close enough to be within insight, mm-hmm. but far enough away so that she's not strikeable. And you get that on your feet turn without even thinking about it. But after that, you're going to be like, well, I could get up there and get it done. And then you roll bad and die. You know, you don't kill what you're trying to kill, and that warp wolf, you know, feral warp wolf kills you. Had a lot more success staying away from her, but that's largely due to Bethane suddenly being awesome.
Yeah. I mean, she's definitely their spell center. She's got a really impressive spell list. She has Rampager, which is, like,
the super annoying, I'm going to yank out a beast every turn. Leash, which is great for the movement shenanigans. Insight, which is, I think, her signature spell. And she also has Chiller, Hoarfrost, and Malice. I don't think I've ever seen Malice cast that much.
That's tough.
In general, and the big thing to remember about her is her ability, Dark Sentinel. If you ever try and attack her and you get up too close, which is one of her big defensive things, then one of her beasts gets to walk around and get boosted on whatever
got close to her. Melee ranged attack.
Yeah.
I'll share a story with you that Watt told me. I think it was at TempleCon. He said that he was playing Jake in a game in Masters, probably. And he had Typhon in front of P-Vale.
Yeah.
And he was going to attack Typhon, sidestep, attack Typhon, and be right there on Vale and just kill her. She had a transfer, maybe, and he just had her. He had dead to rights. Well, he came up, he charged into Typhon, and then Typhon walked away with the Dark Sentinel.
Nice.
So then he goes, okay, free strike. And he's like, all right. So he did a free strike, took his body out, did a shit ton of damage.
Yeah.
And then he goes, okay, well, I'll sidestep. And Jake's like, nope, that wasn't an initial attack. That was a free strike. So Moloch was just stuck out there, just looking right at P Vale.
Wow, that is amazing.
That's pretty good tech, right?
That's good. Yeah.
So I'll share that with the senses of the Legion.
Yeah. I will say also that I think I've only played Jake once, and that was at War Machine Weekend like 2 years ago. And he left Vale out there. I was like, I'm going to get a charge on her with, like, she had like one or two transfers. It's like, I'm going to kill her with like five Stormguard. And they all charged her. And Typhon, like,
sprayed.
He's just like, he like, whoop, and he walks away, sprays down the line, killed every single one.
Yeah.
Every single one. It was like, slightly irritating. And he just took me, like, he was just beating the crap out of me. Like, it wasn't even close.
It's crazy. I think I've played Jake five times in the year that I've been playing.
That's because you're better than Mike, so you're in the winner's bracket more.
Yeah, I'm dirtling around getting in at the last second, and then I lose my first round of Masters whenever you get in.
I will say, I've heard stories just constantly about somebody who's going up to try to assassinate Vale, and then Typhon walks up and is like, crit pitch, whoop!
Yeah, that's how I was using it earlier.
One of the guys at her store, Jeff, he has played against her. Every single time he has played against P Vale and he's tried to kill her, he's been crit pitched away with Typhon. It has happened five times. He's only played it five times. It's happened every single game he's played. He's like, well, what do you do?
That's only a 30% chance. That's unfortunate for him.
Yeah, he's like, I don't know, man. I guess I just don't do this in a real tournament. Like, you just don't go for it. But in general, yeah, she's just a really good warlock. Her feat is extremely obnoxious.
So what do you take with her?
Beast.
She generally wants one run really beast heavy, right?
Just like every Legion.
I'd put... Jake runs with full unit of Raptors. I don't remember if he ran with Anissa. I don't think so. But five Raptors and a Forsaken, a Shepherd, maybe two Shepherds, one Spell Martyr, and a bunch of Beasts. When I played him, I was playing Lilith, and he played P-Vale. And it was five Raptors that he did this really cool thing where I was thinking, all right, I got this. This should be fine. I barely moved up. I took first turn. I barely moved up, and then he ran and feated with the Raptors. So he had five Raptors across my front, which is okay. I can deal with that. I can shoot in a melee. I can kill him. But after that, I mean, I had spent almost all of my, you know. And then he created a wall of beasts. I think he took a Ravagor, Typhon, Carnivian, and a Scythian. I think that's it. I think those four beasts, and then a Shredder was in there somewhere.
Yeah, Shredders are everywhere.
But yeah, that would probably change now with the advent of the Pasta Pot just being everywhere.
Yeah, Pasta Pot's pretty good.
Honestly, I really don't. You want to stay beast heavy, you probably want to take Typhon because it's really good. His sprays are really good with Insight. But the more and more I play with Typhon or tried to play with Typhon, I realize he's just not worth 12 points. In my opinion, he's really soft. And if you find yourself using his sprays, like, he's great on paper, he looks great. But if you find yourself using the sprays, you're probably not doing it right. Because if he's spraying to kill three or four, I mean, there are going to be corner cases where you play someone who just bunches all their guys together and, all right, well, you're going to get your points out of him then. But if you're playing in Masters, if you're playing deep into a qualifier, you're going to be playing people that space their stuff out. You're going to spray on three or four guys, maybe. And then you're going to be out there.
I think the big thing is, like, you can spray it, like, if you ever get the spray on casters with Insight, that's ridiculous.
Again, if...
yes, it shouldn't be happening.
So that's what I'm saying is, yes, there are situations where he will pay for himself, but in most situations in competitive games, you're not going to find him worth 12 points. You're just better off spending those points elsewhere and taking a Scythian and having those three extra points to shift off elsewhere.
Okay, I mean, you obviously know better than me, but...
I think, in fact, I would say that a Scything and a Deathstalker is better than Typhon for less points. A Shepherd, a Deathstalker, and a Scything is better than Typhon. That'd be my... I'm going out on that limb.
Yeah, that's not, you can walk out on that limb. I will not support
a Ravagor and a Deathstalker, even though you really don't get the multi-use thing you do out of the
other. All right, Typhon is... The 12 points comes at a premium because he can do all of the weird, he has all those weird rules. For sure. I mean, and he's not as...
Yeah, I just feel like you have better options of Legion across the board to do all of those things for less points. Like, a Deathstalker is going to clear out the same number of infantry throughout the game, unless you have a player that just bunches all their stuff up. A Scythian is going to do about as much offensively at different points in the game, and you can separate those resources to different places so that you can protect them both better. That's just my opinion. I'm going out there.
So how about Epic Veil? You want to list off the Jake list that everybody's been playing?
Yeah, that is true. What is it? We walked by lock mode and everyone who was playing eBay was...
Yeah, I'm not going to say everyone. I know there was at least one game where Jake played somebody using his exact list from the last tournament.
Yeah, well, from every tournament. But yeah, it's two Ravagors, two Angels, a Scythian, a full Pasta Pot, Legion, no UA, or Legionnaires, no UA, one Shepherd or two Shepherds, maybe.
I mean, the Legionnaires are just there to fuel the Pasta Pot.
Yeah,
and when we say Pasta Pot, we mean the spawning vessel.
Yeah.
I think we've all figured out that thing is really obnoxious. Like, it's...
Well, I mean, it's just so efficient at earning its points back. I mean, you're going to poop out 10 points of beasts and...
In almost every sense, if you're taking a Shredder, you should probably drop the Shredder for a Pot. I mean, the Pasta Pot can virtually make its own Shredder. So
yeah, that's just the guys kill themselves.
Yeah. So if you absolutely were like, okay, this has no effect in this game, I'm just going to go ahead and take that instead. I don't do it with Saren, just because I would rather just start out with the Shredder and be able to use that at the bottom of one, but for Blightfield.
Yeah.
But, and with Lilith, I wouldn't use it.
Yeah, of course.
And then with Bethane, my points are too tight.
Right. But yeah, Epic Lilith, Epic Veil has a really ridiculous spell list. She has all the movement shenanigans that you kind of experienced with her Prime version's feet, but now she's broken it down to Admonition and Refuge, which is really much does Jake put that on? Like, he bounces it off Angels, right?
Yeah, I think it's on Angels. The fact that an Angel can charge, thrust, boost a hit, repulse, and then Refuge away, they're going to be 8 inches, or 10 inches back. No, 11, they're speed 7, right?
Yeah.
So they're going to be 11 inches back from whatever they just thrust.
12.
So
pushes everything within 2-3 inches.
Oh, okay. I thought it was the other way. But yeah. All right. So they're going to be 12 inches back, which is out of most charge ranges.
Yeah, for sure.
Yes. So you have Refuge upkept one turn. You cycle it. You know, you use that. You cycle it over. Occultation usually gets planted on one of them. The Legionnaires are really just there to feed the pot.
Yeah, for sure.
Unless they absolutely need to go up there in cloud for whatever reason. It's super effective, and I think it's really just because purification is the best thing about her.
Yeah.
Suddenly, Legion has an ability to get rid of upkeeps and animi, and that almost by itself is worth it. The only reason I haven't fully replaced Lilith with her is because I know from talking to Jake that the learning curve is really hard, and it takes a lot to. I mean, talking to him about some of his first few games with her.
Yeah, he was not having good times.
Was abysmal
when he first started off.
And I played her a few times, and I got some really crazy long-range assassinations, like that one against Hexorus that was a bottom of one.
Just that was hilarious. He's like, well, let's see if it works. I might be able to do this later. But, and he just, yeah, that was really
Yeah, it slipstreamed the Shredder in front of Vale, directly in front of, and that was great. So I played her a few times, and I realized that the order of activations in that army and exact model placement is so tricky that I'm working too much to be able to really devote enough time to get to learn her. But at some point I will, and when I do, she probably will be a pretty decent answer, or at least an effective game for Colossals.
Yeah.
Jake's doing really well with her. She answers a lot of things that Legion has had problems answering simply because of purification. Everything else she does, nothing is super original. The tier list really sort of builds itself, and it's pretty good.
That's what Jake ran to lock and load in
Master,
right?
Yeah. Okay, it's a little cheaper. You plus want to go first, I think. 2-inch control area, maybe. Anyway. But she's really, really good. She's top tier. She's competitive. If you're going to pick her up and you decide that it sounds fun, just make sure you really You know, you sit down and you put in as many games as you can with her in a row. You play hard matchups for her, easy matchups, because every game that you play, even if you know you're going to lose going into it, it's still worth it because the order of activations is something you need to be able to do without thinking about it.
All right, so what does she not like to see? Do we know?
Trolls. Whenever I've talked to Jake about it, he's like, she doesn't like seeing beefy targets.
Yeah, I think he's P-Mortal.
Yeah, this is like
P-Mortal's really good against Legion.
I'm telling you. P-Morgul, I think Xerxes is an issue. I mean, even though you can purify and set a lot of stuff on fire, I still think the brick gets there. Borka, Idumi. And again, I'm throwing this out there without having... I mean, Jake probably has some ability to really deal with it, but I haven't.
Yeah.
Immediately in this 10 seconds I've thought about it, haven't thought of a good way to deal with it.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I'd say. A lot of big, beefy targets.
Yeah.
Because...
Yeah. Wait, sounds good. Who else do we want to do?
Oh, Doom Reaver Horde might be a problem for her.
You weren't here when we recorded that one, which was the 42 Doom Reaver test.
Yes, we recorded the Troll Bloods episode yesterday, which is actually going to come out after this one. But we talk about the 42 Doom Reaver list a lot in that one.
It's like, can this beat the 42 Doom Reaver list? Nope. Okay. But are you going to see that one very often? Probably not.
Anyway,
I've played it. I played it at Adepticon, and I played it at Lock and Load against it.
It's just so weird and skewed. Like, I understand it has certain things it just crushes, but then it has other things that I just...
Well, in the words of John D., right? Like, it asks you a question. Can you deal with this? Can you deal with 42 PAL 13 weapon masters that are spell worded?
That's what the Terminus question is like. Can you kill Terminus' entire army in 37-minute hardcore? Oh, you can't? Cool. Well, he's going to get there. But...
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, question lists like that, I just... They're in a whole other discussion category.
All right, so who do we want to do with? Probably PTHAGs.
PTHAG, you're seeing a whole hell of a lot.
Yeah, PTHAG is actually the next caster I really wanted to dive into as far as learning it. I think I'm crazy impressed with how good Fog of War is.
Yeah.
I know it's probably not his best, I mean, most highly regarded spell, but I really liked it.
Yeah.
It did. It protected things like, you know, you put a Scythian on a hill, suddenly he's a 15 against shooting. I mean, it got to the point where I was really able to protect my stuff against shooting, which was a first, because I'm usually running around there armor 18, defense 11, and things can just shoot it. I mean, that I usually lose a heavy a turn when I'm playing, or a heavy before I can even engage when I'm playing Saren, because a lot of people
will shoot it off a table.
We'll put some shooting up, especially if I've already burned Lilith or used Lilith once.
I think his big ability is Death Shroud. It's the minus 2 strength to everyone in his command. And you stack that on top of Spiny Growth. It's just...
Yeah,
so hard for things to get through. I mean, Nick, you had to play that at TempleCon.
Yeah, at TempleCon, I played against a guy who was running Pythagoras with 2 Thrones of Everblight, and I mean, I killed the 2 Thrones of Everblight—one with Molokarn and one with the Bronzeback.
And your beasts are so hurt.
But then by that point, you know, they're both half dead.
Yeah, the plus 4 armor that he can give out, plus the damage that their heavy is taking, really softens them up to where if they do kill yours, then you can easily beat them down with whatever you have left. And if they don't, then you just heal up and kill them also easily because they've just hurt themselves so much.
Yeah, and I think when you're building that within a 2 or 3 list format, you're probably using that to fight hordes, and you're probably using it to fight circles specifically. So in doing that, I think Striders are pretty much an auto-include with him. You need that to fight druids. Striders give druids a really hard time. So I think Striders are pretty much auto-include for him. A Carnivian is almost auto-include. You kind of almost never want to leave home without a Ravagor, except Saren.
He has a damage buff, doesn't he?
Yeah, Draconic Blessing, or whatever it's called. Yeah.
I feel like that really
it gives him
takes Scythians up a notch anytime you can damage buff a Scythian.
Yeah. Plus the Strength of Terror,
Yeah, Neutralize he never takes less than 3 heavies, and that I don't necessarily disagree with that. So Ravagor, Scythian, Carnivian is probably the direction I would go with it.
Let's see. And it, of course, his feat is we should mention, is the Bring Back a Heavy, which...
I really hope they errata this.
to make sure Archangels can't...
You can't do it with an Archangel, because Archangels can't be placed. And his feat, he's required to place.
I feel, once again, this might be a wording thing.
It's not a wording thing. It's a play. It's rules as written. Coming from Warhammer, there's raw, and then there's no raw. And this is a raw game. If his feat says place, and you cannot place that model, then you cannot use it under the feat.
Yeah, I mean,
but at the same time, like, you can't place Gallows Groves theoretically,
but you can bring them in reinforcements. But then again, that's the SR document, which isn't, you know, It's official Privateer Press, but it's not like a Privateer Press book. But I don't know.
That's an SR document. That's not the errata, right?
Yeah, just the SR document.
Yeah.
Yeah, until it's errata. I mean, that's for competitive play. Like, until it's errata, I would say, no, you can't place it.
No, Hacksaw ruled it in tournaments that, yeah, you can put them into play.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a logical deal. But, I mean, rules is written.
I mean, I think...
You can't bring the Archangel back. You can't place
you on this one.
I feel like the intention, I'll take the intention bet. Of the okay. rules is that
you just can't place the Carnegie like over there.
Is that you would be able to bring it back to play? I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if they errata it to say, you know, a large base or smaller beast or something like that.
Yeah,
they may do that for clarification, but in my opinion, they don't need to. If it says if it says you can't place, you can't place.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, fair enough. Okay. But yeah, anyways, back to his feet. Yeah, he's going to bring back probably like a Carnivian or Scythian or things like that, which just, I mean, he's just so good at attrition between the Death Shroud he has plus his feet plus Fog of War.
Yeah, his army's just going to last. He's another attrition caster, and I really want to play him because I think I'll have as much fun with him as I am having with B'thane. And he might also be able to play against Colossals-ish. I mean, you probably have to beef up a little bit more, but I know Jake runs. I think Jake runs a Black Frost Shard with him.
I don't know. I know he runs a Pasta Pot because I remember Will teaching about that.
Yeah. All right. So I guess we'll talk about his epic counterpart.
Yeah.
Epic Thag was like King of Mark One when it was still Glory of Everblight, not Manifest Destiny. You don't see him nearly as much as you used to, which I'm thankful for.
I'll tell you what I really like him in. I think is 75 point games.
With two casters or just 75
points? No, just him with 75 points.
Just with Manifest Destiny, the more models in play, the better it is.
Yeah, I think once you start really being it, or like even, like I think he's really good with a throne. I think a throne is auto-include with him. I think a Carnivian and a throne, you use the, is it Draconic Armor? What's the spell? The armor spell? Dragon's Blood?
Yeah.
So you put Dragon's Blood on him, or on the throne, you throw Spiny Growth on there, so it's sort of like you guys were saying with the P-Thag deal. Mm-hmm. And maybe even take two of them and really just hide him behind there. You know, keep a, and then have a Swamp Gobbers maybe in the middle up behind there. So you have a 5-inch cloud over those two. So that even if they drop one, Thag is still, you know, nestled back in the back. There's really a lot you can do once you have the points to just throw down to protect him from just dying. And then you can use, Manifest Destiny to really magnify the other heavies that you take. You take two Forsaken and two Shepherds and he can pretty much run whatever he wants. Mm-hmm. I know Jake's a big fan of the Shredder Swarm. I played that in Masters at Gen Con last year, and it was okay. It was okay.
I don't know. Granted, this probably won't work at a high-level play like Masters, but, you know, you can randomly just, you know, have all your Shredders go rabid and run, pop your feet, and then just on feet turn, walk them into the caster and kill them.
Yeah, I mean, like, that you do see that a lot, because Shredders are, like,
super I did that.
Disposable. And just.
I mean, I did that. It worked. I had to roll really well for it to work, and it wasn't. I mean, it wasn't particularly like I didn't feel like we were really playing War Machine, and it wasn't.
Just gambling.
I was just gambling, nice. And I was gambling. I was gambling on a. I was like making a yo bet.
Yeah.
Which is a one-time bet that an 11 will come up on two dice. Just in case there's non-craps players out there.
File that away for when I play craps.
All right. So I really don't have too much to say about Ethag. If he's your favorite caster, I'm sorry. I haven't really messed around with him too much. I plan on it in a 75-point game. I definitely like him. I think he really comes into his own. I don't even know if I really like him paired up with another caster because there's a lot of other really interesting combinations you can make. But just one caster, 75. I like him, B'thane, P-Thag even.
Yeah.
At 75. Anyway. Just my thoughts on the matter. Who else do we have?
We have like the not as popular like casters. Like you want to talk about like Apsimonia? Like, you ever played her?
Yeah, I played her a few times.
I don't remember this at all.
No, yeah. When I was getting into Legion, I thought I really wanted to like take a caster that nobody had ever really messed with before, and so I tried Apsimonia and B'thane. I couldn't really get Apsimonia to work. I played 5-6 games with her. She's okay. I found her because we had, I mean, a lot of Signar players at the time and a lot of really heavy shooting factions. You know, Jeremy's playing Minoth. I found it very difficult to keep her alive. So I was using a combination of Swamp Gobbers and a heavy, I forget which heavy, maybe Ravagor. trying to create line of sight issues, and it just I never really found a lot of success with it. Her ability to heal up the beast is okay, but I found people just play it. They game it.
Well, no, her feet, like, once you played against it, you just realize that you just focus fire on one of them. And it's the same way, like, you don't care about Darius's feet. It's like, you right. just kill one, and then they're like, by the time they figure out, oh, they're just going to keep killing that one, then it's just, it's too late. You've removed a couple beasts off the table.
Yeah, what I figured out, it took two games, is that once a beast is almost dead, you use your feet right then. You just heal that beast completely up, and then,
Yeah, unless your opponent is, like, foolishly picking off each one of them, but even then, it's like, if the damage isn't completed, it doesn't matter. Like, her feet just needs to be popped very soon to keep her in the
Piece
in the game.
The best piece of tech, and this is again product of Jake, and we mentioned him a lot in this podcast during the Legion episode. And
yeah, I can't imagine why.
I don't think it's surprising to anyone, but so if you take a rake and you put Playing God on it, and give it an open fist. And actually, this is probably just helpful for all Legion players out there, which is the point of the cast anyway. So you give it up, you get an open fist, and then you advance and jump into the right or left side of a. Preferably the flank side, so that there's less able to kill the rake later. You jump it there, you arm lock it, and then you put a blight field. Is that what the spell's called for Absalonia? Blight field. You put a blight field over the colossal, so that the colossal can't get any focus the next turn. So short of the adjudicator or educator, whatever, short of the Minoth one,
no focus for that.
You get no focus.
Well, does blight field say cannot be allocated?
It might say cannot spend. I don't know. You got
it. Can't be allocated focus.
Well, Reliquary allocates focus. So.
But aside from the Menoth one.
No, I'm saying Reliquary, the ability that gives it the free focus,
is an allocation.
Oh, really?
They don't gain it.
Well, anyway, back to the point. So the idea is that you arm lock it, and then your defense 15, so he can spend the initial melee to break, but can't move. So you've blocked off that. You've blocked him off from moving into the fray any further. He can still make attacks. He can still.
It buys you some time to move your guys up the table.
Yeah.
For sure.
So what? You're taking it out. So if you take, something to protect the rake if you can over on that side. But ideally, you're even better off spending another 4 points just to have a backup rake ready to go. So like that rake comes in and that rake starts arm locking. Then when that one dies, another one jumps in. And so you're using 8 points to take out the 18 to 20 of the colossal.
See, I thought you were going to say you just try and jump and like throw casters. Towards the rest of your army or something.
Throw what?
Casters. Like, if you give them open fists, like...
Oh, no, that's what... Because the Colossal is the problem, right? So once the Archangel comes out, I really think if Absalonia's feat works on the Gargantuan, she's going to be legit. She's going to be...
That's one where, I mean, Darius' feat works, so I assume Absalonia as well, too.
Yeah, well, she's going to be really legit at that point, because if... Yeah, you take two rakes and an archangel, assuming they're 20 points because it's Legion. I mean, you're talking about 28 points to just have your colossal be awesome and theirs be completely ineffective. When I say awesome, I mean you can heal it all the way back.
Yeah, exactly. And ineffective meaning they just can't move, but they can still shoot at you.
Well, no, because you have to use your initial melee to break, right? You have to use your.
I guess that's true. Well, that's fucking obnoxious.
Right. So if you use your initial melee, you can't buy shots after that, right?
That's correct.
So you've effectively frozen the Colossal completely.
Huh.
I think that's how it works.
I'm not sure. I'd have to check.
We're a really educated podcast here. Yeah, exactly. We know how this game works. And do we have a rule book around here?
Yeah, I do.
Run and grab that.
Yeah, run and grab the rule book.
Because this sounds super cool.
Very highly suspect.
So that's I maybe had six games with Absalonia, but I don't think she's terrible. I played against her a couple times when I was playing Signar. I never really found her to be a problem to kill, especially with Ekane and Siege.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's that.
Hey, cats.
Kallus would be another more newer caster. I know there's a lot of people out there that really, really like Kallus, and he's easy to like on paper. He looks really good.
He is Dark Guidance. I mean,
it's hard
really
not
to... really good.
He makes your whole army unyielding, right? I mean, basically. And he has Dark Guidance, so it's hard not to like him. Again, the problem I've had is not getting him killed. And I talked to Jake, and he said he was doing okay. He didn't have that big of a problem keeping him alive, but... Every time that I played him, which was all of twice, he was... I mean, maybe that's a learning curve deal. Maybe he's just difficult and I just don't have time to really devote to him. But I think there are a lot of other better options out there from a competitive standpoint. And I just haven't figured out how to make it work. I will tell you this, though. In my head, I think I would drop at least one unit of Incubi into the army because even though he can create incubi, he's not really creating them the way they normally are played. Because what I found with, and I've played with incubi a lot now with Lilith, is being able to place them at the beginning of your turn and make your opponent just have to take that combo charge, that speed 6, mat 7, pow, I think it's pow 14. Yeah, pow 14. Maybe it's pow 15. Anyway, it's really effective, and you're able to get back in the back and create a lot of havoc, running into, like, just charging into choir, hitting two of them, killing, you know, using individual attacks and killing them both. I think I'd at least put one unit, maybe two units of incubi just in the list. If I started training and learning, and I may change that later, but that's how I'd start off with it.
See, I think that's about it. What else is that? I feel like we're missing one or two.
Here, let me see this book.
All right, it's that page.
This one?
Yeah. All right, I'm going to pause this while we look this up. All right, so having paused the recording and looked it up, yes, Armlock does work exactly the way Billy described.
Okay, so yeah, basically, the wording in that makes it that way is that at the beginning of your combat action, you're being a colossal, it must attempt to break the lock. Okay, so you don't get a choice about it. You have to. So you roll your strength versus the rake strength. You add a d6. Whoever is higher. So you're breaking almost. In fact, I think you auto break.
Yeah, I don't think there's any way the rake can beat any of the colossals.
Yeah, so the locked, and this is the key sentence, the locked warjack can make its initial attacks with any melee weapons not locked in a system located as.
So it can punch the rake, but it's not going to be shooting any guns.
No. It can make its initials that are not locked. So as long as you make sure the rake is in that quadrant.
Yeah.
See, normally a warjack isn't quadranted.
Yeah.
Quadrant off like that. So you just get in one side, you lock it. It can't shoot its guns. It can't move.
And that's actually super nice.
And it can't buy attacks.
Well, no, because you have to declare which one you lock.
Yeah, but. Okay, you declare the quadrant you're in.
You're in the quadrant. If you're in just one quadrant, then they can't make attacks with the one that they just broke free of.
Yeah. So they. Yeah, it's super obnoxious.
Yeah, exactly right. So as long as you stay out of that 2-inch of the other quadrant, you're fine.
Why do people not use locks?
Well, it's particularly good here because you can't buy any more. Yeah. I mean, a normal deal, you could just turn around and keep buying. So you don't want to, like, lock Avatar Sword because then...
He'll still kill the rake with his shield.
He'll still annihilate him, yeah. But so that's one piece of tech. I think once the Archangel comes out, I think we're going to see a whole lot of Absolonia. So if you want to get ready for that, buy or paint her up.
Yeah, for sure.
Should be a lot of fun.
Sweet.
All right, what now?
I don't know.
Do I talk about the others?
I think Prime Lilith is the only one that we haven't brought up.
Here's something that I really like about Prime Lilith. I've really been wanting to put together a tier list. I don't think tier 4, I think like tier 3. But you can take two full units of Raptors and Anissa, and that blows my mind. So I think against Hordes, between Parasite and Bad Blood, I think she's just got some really interesting things she can do. Biggest problem, she does not have stealth. So you have to, and you can't take Swamp Gobbers in her tier either. So you almost have to dedicate two Raptors to the back, and even that's really dicey. But I really like the idea of 11 elk riding elves running around the board. And she does a really good job if you just take two Ravagors. The Ravagors pretty much give her only one would need to fire every turn, like do auto fire, and then keep her pretty full. You can take, because you can't take any shepherds or forsaken either.
this gets worse and worse.
No, it sounds. Like, it sounds bad, but I think it'd be okay. So I'm still haven't tested it yet because I have to buy a whole other unit of Raptors, but I want to check that out. I think she's really tough to be competitive with. I think it's Parasite's good, but even if you make a non-tier list with her, she's okay. She's not – I can think of six casters off the top of my head I would play first in a competitive format. But if you can send a list over, like into the email, that just blows me away, I promise you that I will play it in a really competitive tournament and see how well it does.
All right. So I think that's it for casters then. Any closing thoughts?
Closing thoughts. I think Swamp Gobbers, if you're picking up the faction, if you're just new into playing, if you haven't been playing for a long time – I think Swamp Gobbers should probably go into every list. They're really good. They're really good in general, and I still use them with Saren. But they're a really good training wheel for not getting your caster killed. So if you start playing with Legion, and you're like, man, my caster just keeps dying. You know, I can't really hold on to the transfers. Because you always want to run Beast Heavy. And if they kill your Fury Mitigation early, it becomes very difficult to keep your caster alive and not out of transfer or out of fury and far forward. So I just use Swamp Gobbers, and maybe that's obvious, but I don't know. It's a lesson that I learned. Secondly, Deathstalkers are another really good training wheel where they're just really good. I mean, the Rat 8, Sniper, so that you can automatically do the point. Sounds really obvious, but it's really good. And if you can run two of those up any flank, and it immediately gives your opponent a lot of problems. It takes a very specific type of offensive output in order to get rid of them, and not even everyone has the type of stuff that you need to get rid of it. Pasta Pots are coming onto the scene, and it's for a good reason. It's because they're really good. If you take any kind of infantry, be it swordsmen, legionnaires, hell, even striders in some cases, hex hunters,
opponents, dudes.
Yeah, I mean, they're just, for 3 points, it's a really good 3-point model. I highly recommend anybody go pick that up, try it out, see if it works for you, because it probably will. It's pretty good. That and Ravagors. If you have anything against them and you're just like, I just don't want to try it, they don't look good,
nope.
Just try it.
Nope.
Yeah, try it out. I guess I'm really just sort of talking to players just getting in the Legion.
That's fine.
Right now. But, yeah, so, and, yeah, I guess that's pretty much it. That's probably something really obvious that I'm forgetting.
That's right. We'll get email about it.
Cool.
So next up, I think we're going to talk about War Games Con that we ran. What was that? No, it was 2 weekends ago. At this point, so the Renegades ran all of the events for everybody.
I totally feel so bad for Axon, all the judges that do this now. Like, I knew it was going to be tiring, and I will say it's a lot less stressful. Because you're not trying to get into Masters, but it's way more tired because you're just up at like 7 and you're done at 11 at night. And we didn't even run any overnight events.
You pretty much have to be up, you know, at least an hour before all the players, and you're in the convention hall for at least, you know, maybe not a full hour on some nights because, you know, but you're staying later than everybody else. So it does get tiring. We ran a couple of Masters qualifiers, a hardcore. Epic Morgul actually won that.
There was no Legion at this event at all.
Yeah, that's true. Not a single Legion player. Not a single Legion list was run in any of the tournaments that we ran.
Yeah.
Which was really weird.
Yeah. Billy was playing Signar because he loves Stormwalls now.
Well, I didn't play the Stormwall. I played with Triumph. I wanted to see if I could make it work.
How'd that go?
I lost to Epic Morgul.
Yeah, good job.
Yeah, it was my first time to ever play against him. And I was playing... I mean, player was really good. It's Ben. He's playing Ben. He's really good.
Yeah.
And he turtled up and he got girded and he had a spell, he feated and he had a shield guard and wasn't really concerned. I just was like, we'll see what happens. Let's see if this could be an epic assassination for Siege. I was like 10%. He started doing the math as I got like 5 rolls into it and I was like,
not a good choice.
This is not going to work out.
I immediately regret my decision.
This guy's defense is way too high.
Yeah, he's pretty high defense. All right, sweet. You have anything you want to say about War Games Con, Mike?
It was a lot of fun. Thanks to all the awesome guys and all the guys from Texas that came down for it. I just had a really good time hanging out with them and seeing them. It was really cool. Private Press sent down Will Harford and Lyle Lowry, and that was awesome. A lot of 40K players got free battle boxes.
So... you were probably going to email about Rias because we forgot him.
Her.
We're going to edit that out too. That sounds terrible. So we forgot about Rias. Sorry about that. I've never played with Rias and I've never really had any interest in playing Rias. And I've heard from a lot of other Legion players that she's a lot of fun and that she's really good. And I just don't have the time I would rather play every other caster.
All right. So Billy has nothing to say about Rias.
I have nothing to say.
All right. I want to talk about War Games Con a little bit. All right, Billy's like dancing or something in his chair.
No, I thought that'd be the point you edited out because, are we totally redoing War Games Con now?
No.
Now we are.
Jump in and talk about War Games Con a little bit. That was my first experience ever running any tournaments. I had a lot of fun with it. I also actually played in a couple. I played in one of the Masters qualifiers and then played in the Masters on Sunday. Had some really good games, got to play against, I think my favorite game of the weekend was probably against, James Russell.
That was awesome.
A Crix player from, he's from Dallas area, I think.
I think so, yeah. But the coolest thing is he took a caster, that we, a lot of times at our store discount, which is Morton Ebra.
as Krix. And we actually talked about this in the Troll episode, which you'll hear next week, or next time we release an episode. But the cool thing about her is, well, Nick, why don't you... sorry, I hijacked you.
You really did. I wasn't even really going to talk about the game too much.
Incidentally, I also paint things better than you. But
that's not true. I hope you drop some super glue on your iPad screen there while you're working on that.
CG and a Mantra-esque.
But yeah, no, so it was really cool. He had a Mort Nebralist, and Epic Hexorus is, you know, what I take for Krix. That's just kind of the way it is. So Epic Hexorus isn't necessarily a list that I would want to take against Mort Nebra. You know, it came down to a slugfest. He was hitting me with his heavies, and I was hitting him with my heavies, and he ended up taking it. It was a close game. He just barely got there on the assassination on Hexorus towards the end of the game. If he had failed that, I would have probably eaten Mort Nebra with Hexy. But, like I said, good game. Great guy to play against. Like, just, like I said, my favorite game of the weekend. Yeah, so War Games Con was sweet. You guys should all come next year.
Yeah, Privateer Press.
Hopefully Privateer Press will be there again next year.
I think
they will. Oh, another thing I want to talk about from War Games Con. We got some sweet spoilers.
Which we already
which have already been posted all over the internet. I'm sure everybody's already seen them. But I just want to say, I think the Mammoth Gun is going to totally change the way Scorn plays. That finally gives them like a...
not Epic Hexorus way to deal with Ozzy.
Way to deal with high defense infantry that's not Epic Hexorus. It's going to be awesome.
Well, yeah, when Will first asked me, he's like, Will, as a non-horse player, which would you like to hear about? And I thought about trying to get people to bribe me to ask about, to get them to tell which faction I wanted to hear about. But he ended up telling us all of them, which is super sweet. But, yeah, I'm super excited for that Mammoth Gun. I think the World Wrath Animus is super sweet. Like, everything, all the stuff we heard about Colossal, or Gargantuan's that weekend was awesome.
Got it. Even with Epic Hexorus, Black Spot, and that gun, you get to shoot the gun 6 times. That's absurd.
I'm not as thrilled about the...
Angel?
The Angel. I don't know.
I mean, knowing the special rules, like, you can have all the great special rules in the world. If you don't have some decent offensive output to go with it, it's just not going to be very good. I mean, there are models in the game that definitely suffer from that syndrome of having way too many special rules and not much offensive output, like Trenchers.
What I don't want to see... What I don't want to see is, like, a POW 16 armor pierce. That's what I don't want to see.
We know he has a POW 19 bite, too.
That's his mouth. Or her mouth.
On the Archangel.
That might actually be alright.
Yeah.
And it can make ride-by attacks.
And it has consume. So that's the Archangel spoiler. And just for the sake of completeness, the Wold Guardian, or the Wold Warden,
Wold Wrath.
The Wold Wrath, that's the one. Or the Wold Wrath's Animus gives boosted magic attack rolls against any enemy models that are in its command range, which I believe is 10.
Yes. I mean, it seems really good for things like Druids or Blackclads or pretty much anything. I mean, I'm just super excited to see what these guys come out with.
All right, so finally, a couple of questions. The first one is from Sam. He says that he's currently playing Kador in Circle. He is also the Pressganger in his area and is just starting up a Journeyman League. He says he doesn't want to play models that he already owns, and he wants to support the store, so he's planning on picking up another faction and is asking our advice as to whether he should pick up Signar or Scorn. As somebody who has recently switched from Signar to Scorn, I'm going to say Scorn.
As someone who also switched from Signar to something else, I will also endorse the non-Signar option. Also, I think Scorn is really fun looking.
Yeah, I played P. Makeda at one of the events at War Games Con, and P. Makeda was the most fun I've ever had playing War Machine or Hordes. And I have Legion and Signar. So you're talking to three former Signar players. One of them currently plays Scorn. I played Scorn, and it was... P. Makeda, I kind of just want to play her on every event and every game from now on.
Billy made me feel a little bad because he came back after playing my P. Makeda list and was like, man, Nick, I just don't understand how you ever lose a game with P. Makeda.
It was ridiculous. Like, she just does. Anyway, I won't get into it. But, yeah, I'd say Scorn. Scorn seems like a lot of fun to play. Like, it may not be as invincible as I have in my head, but it was so much fun. I would play P. Makeda. And Hexorus was cool. He kind of felt like a conductor back there the whole time, but... P. Makeda was really just, I don't know. I'm going to start playing that for hardcore.
All right, so we all like...
I mean, not to get too much down on Signar. I don't want to like say that, because they're the first faction I played. I still love playing them. I mean, it's just two very different ways of playing things. Scorn is just all about just all up in your face beating you down with bronze backs, which is fun, and they have all these movement shenanigans. Signar is more the combined arms thing.
No, Signar is... I've been the last... I all day yesterday and today I'm playing with Signar at this qualifier in Tulsa. I'm going to play Signar. I mean, I really like Signar. It's just, if I could go back to the first day I started playing this game, I think I'd pick up Scorn. I think it's a lot of fun. Because it's fun. Not necessarily because it's ball breaking, but just because I'm having a lot of fun.
Yeah, Scorn is a lot of fun.
You just feel dangerous.
Unless you really like guns. If you just want to shoot stuff, then play Signar.
No, then you play Menoth.
Well, but of the choice.
Wait, what factions does he already have?
He already has Kador and Circle.
Okay, so you're already... Kador, I guess...
Kador's kind of shooty.
Not really.
Not nearly the same.
There's really only three shooting factions, right? There's Rhett, Menoth, and Signar, and Legion. Legion can be.
Four shooting factions.
Maybe if you really want to shoot and you haven't had that flavor of the game yet, maybe play Signar. But if in a vacuum, I'm just looking at those two factions, I take Scorn all day.
All right. It's a lot more fun to roll up with a Bronzeback and make, 18 bajillion attacks than to shoot once with a Defender.
Yeah, sure. That's 100% true.
All right, so let's see. What was our second question? I have to go back. All right, so Andrew is sending us an email saying that he just put together some Cyclops Savages that were a nightmare to put together and just wanted to ask us what our least favorite model ever to put together was.
Billy, why don't you tell us first?
I wish I had a better, a least cliche answer, but Nyss were a big problem.
Okay.
Nyss. I hated putting together the Nyss.
I'm going to say Nyss, too. They have way too many fiddly bits, and getting all the arms and swords and bodies matched up. I have at least, three Nyss that just look absolutely ridiculous, because I put the wrong arms on the wrong bodies and, posed them wrong, but I'm not redoing it.
Bane Knights were also a problem. I'm going to say, I helped Eric put together his Bane Knights. And I know, I tried to step out of the box and say something that nobody else would, but yeah, it was really irritating. You have to do all those little spikes, and when you hold it there, you're holding the little spear, and it just wouldn't... Maybe if you had some accelerant, it would be really fast and easy, but...
What about you, Mike? You can't say Nyss Hunters, because I know you haven't put Nyss Hunters together.
I have...
Because you use mine.
Yeah, that's true. I will say Steelhead Halberdiers are probably not as bad as Nyss, because I've watched people play Nyss, and then I used Nyss because I didn't want to buy my own and assemble them. So, Steelhead Halberdiers are super obnoxious, because they, like Nyss, have why is this arm a separate piece? It doesn't need to be a separate piece, but here it is. But mine look awful. There's green stuff sticking out from all of them, because I had to use that to, wedge arms together, and just, they're awful. If they weren't so good and cheap, you'd never see them play. But,
all right. I almost said Gorman.
What?
That would be such a trolling.
It really would.
Isn't he one piece?
Yeah.
There was no assembly. You stick him in the base.
Yep. It was so hard.
Yeah.
Barely got it done.
All right. So I think that's it for us.
That's it, really?
Yep.
All right. No. I'm going to do my thing that I always do, which is I talk about Space City Con. This thing is dropping before Space City. All right. Space City Con. It's going to be happening from August 10th through 12th down in Houston at the Galleria, or in the hotel that's attached to the Galleria. I'm sorry. Check it out at spacecitycon.com. Right now, we just had our first raffle for pre-registration people for War Machine.
Somebody Zach, from Dallas.
Zach House got one of the first pre-reg raffle, which is what I'm doing is if you pre-register and send me the confirmation to prove that you're not just trying to cheat me out of a colossal, I'll let your name in a raffle. There's two raffles left, one at on July 16th, the other on the 31st. And if you win, you get to choose now from a Kraken or a Conquest. So get pre-reg signed up for that, and that'd be sweet if you win. Also, I'm going to be running a whole full weekend of events. There's going to be four qualifiers leading into a Master style event on Sunday, and then for anyone who didn't get into Masters, there'll be a Flanks for the Memories. But should be awesome. A couple strange celebrity people are going to be there. I don't know if they're strange, which is...
Strange? Ari Salvatore's the man.
I wasn't talking about him, but yes, Ari Salvatore's going to be there, which will be super sweet. Jason David Frank, who was the Green Ranger from Power Rangers, is going to be there.
Oh, that guy's awesome.
Nichelle Nichols.
Well, that character's awesome. I don't know the actual guy.
Y'all are a little bit younger than me.
Yeah.
I'm over here like, Power Rangers, really?
You watch Power Rangers? Yeah, I guess we are. Power Rangers are awesome.
Next quarter generation.
I just couldn't watch it because my parents didn't have cable when I was little. But, just come down, check it out. It's going to be a whole lot of fun.
All right, Mike, since you wanted to keep talking, I'm going to make you do a punch of the week. Because you haven't done one in a long time, and I'm sure you have one.
Oh, yeah, let me see. Oh, yeah. This is the one I was playing against. I guess we'll use War Games Con, since that's the earliest one. I was playing against the Prime Scar Mirror match, which is just god-awful, because there's a million infantry on the table. And my opponent, Bill Gordon, had Bile Thralls in his list, which is...
pretty much like the army. Well, it's like the army with the infantry swarm with bile thralls will win against the infantry swarm without bile thralls every time, which is true. So I sit down, I'm like looking at him, like, well, I have Garrulak and he doesn't, so I could theoretically weed whacker through a bunch of them. But he has Bane Thrall, so I know I need to get rid of Tough, which I have a Blood Witch in there specifically for. So I'm like, all right, I'm going to go and pop her many feet and just charge her at something and get into the middle of his army. And then Garrulak's going to just go bananas. Because with Dark Guys, he's just going to cut through all the Bane Thralls, and I'll be able to weed whacker my way into the Bile Thralls. So I'm like, okay, Garrulak activates and charges that Bane Thrall. Charge. He Toughs. I'm like, oh, I got to... forgot to do the thing that I meant to do. I forgot to move the piece that I have specifically in this list for this reason to do that, and then next turn the Bile Thralls walk up and kill my entire army. And then I lost the game, but it was awful.
Yeah, I didn't get that explanation. You were like, yep, he had Bile Thralls, I didn't. that was a summary.
That is not a lie. That was a true statement. Accurate. But also, yeah.
So he's probably going to lose that one anyways.
Oh, I was going to lose that one anyways. I just had a... It was partly a bad matchup, and Bill's going to be a really good player. He's just recently started, but
I hate when the mirror matchup is a bad matchup.
Yeah, it's just because he looked at me. He's like, "Really, you don't have Bile Thralls?" I'm like, "No," because normally I'm just going to crush into someone with a million Mechana Thralls and Blood Gores. Why do I care? And he's like, he just sprayed on all of them. And it was awful.
All right, sweet. I think that's it for us.
All right, later, guys.
Take care.